Now, welcome to another inspiring edition of Sound Insight with Dr. Tom Curran.
Welcome to the program. Today on the program, you're going to hear three more days reflections on my journey. And I attempt to keep them fresh and new each day because there's either a fresh encounter with somebody or another point of teaching. And again, the point of teaching is it's about your life of faith, not just mine and what's happening to me. It's not just some theological idea that floats off in the clouds. No, this is about you. This is about helping you to grow in faith. So I hope and pray that you enjoy the three reflections that make up today's program, three more days on my journey on the Camino. Okay, enjoy them.
Hey, this is Dr. Tom Curran, the host of Sound Insight, but also a realtor serving wonderful folks like you in the state of Washington and in Idaho. I've had the privilege and pleasure of helping dozens of families in the last 2.5 years discern and find a strategy, a path, and a plan to help their families find a whole new life in eastern Washington and northern Idaho. If I could be of service to you in that, I would love to. Please reach out. DrTomCurran.com, DrTomCurran.com.
Hey, welcome back to my week 3, day 17 of my Camino journey. This was another 40 kilometer or 24 mile day from Sahagun to Mansilla de los Mulas. And I was a little hesitant. It wasn't my first choice to walk 2 days in a row that length, that distance, because I'm still trying to keep the insights from the early stage of the from the Camino, which is respect your body, recognize the limits of your body, and don't overdo it. If you overdo it, you're not gonna be of any help to anybody, right? So in that spirit, I really wanted to choose a distance that was shorter. Unfortunately, the Camino is getting more crowded. and there are a lot more pilgrims sort of showing up. They didn't start at St. John like I did, but they're joining in at Burgos, they're joining in at Leon, they're joining in along the way. And as things get more crowded, guess what happens? There are fewer places to book. And so I didn't have an earlier access point where I could stop. So I said, well, I'm going to trust that if I leave early, I pace myself gently, I'll be able to make it and I'll be able to get there. And I got out of the place I was staying, and this is again another one of these beautiful examples of God's timing, God's providential timing. Because something happened in this stage that hasn't happened in all the other 16 stages previously, and that is, I ended up walking with someone the entire day, from the beginning all the way to the end. I walked with someone, and this was probably the actual longest day that I walked. And so we were together from 7:15 in the morning until around 4:30 in the afternoon. That's a lot of hours, 9 hours of walking together. And it was, again, God's providential timing, the way this all worked out, because I got down to the main level of my hostel. And they had a little bar there. So I'm like, I can get a coffee. Let me get a coffee. It's early. And I kind of said hello. And they showed up and they gave me a coffee. So I quickly drank it. And then I'm walking out of here. And I walk out and I just go down 2 blocks. And there's a little bar where you can get, it's open. I can now get coffee. I could get something to eat. And the mystery of this is that if I hadn't got my coffee there, I would have gone in and sat down and actually had a breakfast in this other place. Instead, what happened was I ended up saying, could I just have a croissant? And freshly made, smells like heaven. And they gave me the croissant and I said, you know what? I'm just going to literally take it off the plate and I'm going to eat it as I walk. I had never done that before. I'd always sat down, let me enjoy my coffee and my croissant. But for something, I was just like, let me just take this and go. Took it, walked out, started walking down the street, and there was a guy just a bit ahead of me, just a little bit ahead of me. And within a couple hundred yards, he was like kind of stretching out a little bit. I kind of caught up to him and said hello, and we started walking, and said, "Hey, where are you going?" And he said he was going to Mansilla de los Mulas. I'm like, "Are you kidding me?" I bumped into another guy going 24 miles. I'll come to find out this guy actually had started several miles back. He was going more than 24 miles in a day. I'm like, "Who are you?" And I had said, when I pray at the very beginning, when I get started at the day, when I just leave the hotel, like the place I'm staying, I'll say a prayer, "Lord, lead me." Something inside of me, I said, "Lord, I want a divine appointment. How come I haven't had a divine appointment now? I want to really can have another like a powerful conversation. I want to be useful to you, Lord." And so I started in with this guy, and it was, again, it ended up being about a 9-hour conversation, but something inside of me said, "Take your time. Take your time. You don't need to like force the conversation. You don't need to rush the conversation. You don't need to be overly guiding the conversation to lead to like, tell me your deep, dark secret. Why are you really here?" And that's not how I mean it, but you know what I mean? Like if there's a deeper reason that's not like immediately something that somebody talks about, I just had the sense that it was going to unfold in God's time and that I was supposed to just be myself, enjoy the conversation, and then if something showed up, just be available that it's going to show up. So we started walking. Come to find out, the Catholic guy goes to Mass and six kids. And we spent the next 3 hours. This was sort of the 3.5 hours, first leg of our journey, to our first major stopping point. Just talking about family life, career in law enforcement. He had, not me. And fascinating stories about his wife, his kids, how they met, how they got together, and all this other stuff. Super cool. Super cool. And asking me questions. So talking about my kids. And so this goes on for 3.5 hours. And just an enjoyable conversation. Time goes by, and we're talking about pace. And it's very interesting, this idea of pace. You've heard me say this now a couple of times. Walking is the pace of life. Walking is the pace of life. Something that I learned is that, again, if I'm walking 3 miles an hour, then I'm in the flow. And if I try to walk faster than that, my knees start to hurt. I start to feel it more in my feet. I might feel a little bit of pull in my calf muscles, even my hamstrings. And I'm like, okay, I got to slow down. But if I go too slow, if I go slower than I should, and that's what happened the day before when I was with that other couple that I mentioned yesterday, we were going a little slower than 3 miles an hour. By the time I got to the end of my day, I was really dragging. My feet were really, really hurting. It doesn't help when I was going just, 2.7 miles an hour instead of 3. So there's something about being in that sweet spot of the flow that allows your body to be able to take in the journey you're on. And so now we are in the midst of the Meseta. So again, it's really flat for just almost the entire thing, with just some small ups and downs now and then, but so much flat. So we get through the first 3.5 hours of our time together. We stop, we get a sandwich, get some nourishment in us. I've got a piece of fruit, some water, etc. Well, we launch into the second half, and he says, "Hey, do you want a happy story? I have a happy story and a sad story. Which one do you want to hear first?" And I have a sad story and a happy story. Which one do you want to hear first? Well, the most natural thing would be to say, "Oh, let me hear the sad story so we can end on a high note." But something inside of me said, "Okay, that sad story, there's something meaningful there. And I don't want us to make him like have an easy way to say, I want to talk about the happy story now. So let's talk about the happy story. So we did, and it was beautiful, something going on in his family and this and that. And then the sad story. And the sad story is about losing his son several years ago. Again, it was suddenly, unexpectedly, and tragically. And he starts to tear up again and ends up saying, you know, this is really the reason why I'm on the Camino, to somehow deal with the guilt associated with, could I have done something? Should I have done something? Did I miss something? Is it my fault in some way? And somehow for his wife at home, who's still mourning and trying to navigate that on her side as well. And then for their other kids, they're all grown now, but still there's a lot there. And I have a chance to share, because he is living his Catholic faith now, I can talk in a really fully Catholic way about these some beautiful truths around God and God's providential care for his son. I had a chance to talk through some of the things that he was identifying as reasons why he would maybe feel guilty, and I was able to help him unwind that and see it differently, and talked about the reality that his son is with the Lord and sees him, and that we can both pray for him if he's in purgatory. We can pray with him to the Lord for his mom and siblings, and we can ask him to pray for us, and he can pray for you. And I said, let's pray rosary. So it was a Friday. So let's pray the sorrowful mysteries for him and his family. So the fellow that I was with, and for his family. And so he said, absolutely. So I prayed the rosary, and just gently, in the way that I do. So at the beginning of the mystery, I would pray a very specific healing prayer for him or his spouse or his siblings or for this whole situation. We prayed through a rosary. Again, it was very moving for him, very emotional, and very powerful. And we finished that up. We walked some more and shifted back conversations to other stuff. And again, we have a lot of hours here. And so we're continuing now talking about other stuff. And I said to him, I said, look, we've still got quite a ways to go, and I'm not going to have time by myself. And I said to him, one of the things that I do is I tend to pray more than one rosary. And so there are a lot of people that I've met on the way that I would like to pray for, and for people who have asked me for prayers. And I said, would you be open to praying another rosary? And he said, absolutely. If that would serve you, yeah, that would be great. So we prayed a second rosary, and I got to name the different people in their different circle. The people that you've heard me talk about in these other 16 reflections, and even the ones before that on the way to the Camino, praying for these people. So he was very much just, again, engaged with me in that time of prayer that we had together. And then as we were just finishing, you know, we weren't being intense about stuff anymore. We got to our destination, and he was going to be heading out early the next day, and I was going to be taking it much more casually. He really wanted to stay in touch, and just sent me a really neat note just saying that, you have no idea how much that conversation impacted my life. I want to stay in touch with you. And the neat thing is, he actually lives within driving range of me, and actually comes to our area now and again. And so who knows what God's going to be doing there, but God answered my prayer. I just really wanted to be available. And I think God answered his prayer for wanting to be able to deal with this in the Camino. And it all happened because of about 30 seconds. I mean, literally, you think about how close that contact was, because we walk at the same pace. I would not have caught up to him, and he wouldn't have caught up to me. And the likelihood that even if we had, we just would have passed each other if I had been taking a break or something like that. The mystery of how God's providential hand was on our meeting and then guided the conversation, gave me the guidance to hold back and wait, and then gave him permission to prompt this, and then his willingness to pray. How beautiful is that? God is just so good. Pray that you can have a providential encounter with people in your life, to be available to pray with folks and to provide guidance and wisdom as the Lord leads.
Hi, this is Dr. Tom Curran, and you know me as the host of Sound Insight. I am also letting folks know that as a realtor licensed in the state of Washington and in Idaho, I love serving Catholic families and others who are discerning a move for yourselves. It's much more than buying or selling a home. It's discerning a whole new life. If that's something that you would find a help in, if I could be of service to you, please be in touch. You can find out more at drtomcurran.com. drtomcurran.com.
It's interesting how people that I met earlier in the Camino, I bumped back into them again. And this idea of bumping back into, and let's call it a serendipitous or providential meetings, also happen on the Camino. So first thing I have to say about going from Mansilla de las Mulas to León, it was a shorter trips, which I really enjoyed the fact that it was shorter. In fact, I'm in León now, and you might be able to hear the cathedral bells in the background. So this night, when I left in that morning, it was the weirdest night's sleep, because at 3 a.m, there's this outdoor festival going on with this sort of like this deep beat kind of rave type of party going on, with laser light shows into the sky. And it's like 3:15 a.m, right? And so I ended up contacting one of my kids 6 hours behind, right? So for them, it's in the middle, it's just in the evening. And I said, I'm gonna go check this out. So I climbed out of bed, got dressed, and I went out to the party. I took a video. I had a live, like, FaceTime going on as I'm walking towards this party. And my daughter's like, Dad, it's a rave. Get out of there. She was concerned for my health. No, this is like a community activity. Showing up 3:15 a.m. It is like a rock concert with, like, again, this deep beat, more like a DJ playing this kind of DJ type music with all kinds of fancy lights and screens and very, very loud, and sending off like explosive confetti. And they had these like smoke cannon things. And oh yeah, by the way, and there was the mom with the kid in the stroller, and there's the grandma and the grandpa, and there's the middle-aged folks, and there's the people in the 30s and the 20s, and then, oh yeah, a whole bunch of teenagers too, and kids. Like, who are these people? And interestingly, the same group I had encountered before, way back in Puerta de la Reina. So, I don't know, maybe 12, 13 days ago, they were further east of here, and they finally caught me. They caught up to me, and their show reached town. So I had an encore performance, but this time I just wasn't listening through the window. This time I actually went out and had a chance to watch them perform, caught some videos, send them off to my kids. And my oldest daughter, who was in Spain a couple months ago, was like, yeah, Dad, this was happening like every night when I was in Spain, where she was. And so it's part of the culture. It's just a very different thing. All right. One of the things I enjoyed about this particular day of walking was that I had just walked two 24-mile days, and this day was going to be half that. And it was going to lead to a rest day. So I was like, you know what? I don't have to hurry to get in. I can take my time. And so I got up later than I ever did. I got up at 7:30 and ended up wandering over to the communal breakfast. And I bumped into a lady from day two. A lady that I met a little bit. She wasn't part of the group of the three ladies that I was walking with that I told the story about, but she was a friend of theirs and I met her briefly and then she zoomed on. And I bumped into her again. And the interesting thing is that I'd been praying for her. I felt when I first met her that she was someone who was like on a search and it was kind of her life was a bit of a kind of a communal life. So she came right over to me, sat down and started chatting and had a nice talk. And then she finished her breakfast, got up and left too. So I got up, I went to the local supermarket, picked up some fruit and goodies and off I went. And I ended up catching up to her. She had stopped to take a break and I passed by her again and kept on going. And I would end up seeing her later that day in Lyon, where she was sitting down and having a bite to eat. And so it's interesting how these people keep coming and keep dropping into a pilgrim's life. Now, I think that's something that's a very common experience for people that are walking the Camino, especially when they're staying in the normal stages. And I haven't been doing that. And so she also hadn't been doing that. And so that was one of the reasons we ended up connecting. We came back together. And so there's a relevance to this because there's a way in which people that are part of your life will play a part in one moment. And then you know what? They just might play another part later or even again, further down the road. You never know the connecting points that God's going to have for you. But one of the things that I'll do is that when I have a contact with someone that's meaningful, I will often wonder whether, or it's out of the ordinary. It just doesn't have to be meaningful. It's out of the ordinary. It's like a striking, like, boom. It might be someone did something that was really like loud and obnoxious or whatever in front of me. And my response will be internally, you know what you just did? You just got on my prayer list. God got your attention. God got my attention to pray for you. And I'm going to just keep praying for you now. One time, an example of how this happened, it was Corpus Christi Sunday, and there was a Eucharistic procession. They were carrying the Blessed Sacrament in a monstrance from one church to the other. And we were in a big line of people, hundreds and hundreds of people long, going from church to church. And we happened to be crossing the highway on a bridge. And this truck comes by, ends up slowing down, and ends up screaming, "God hates us all," peels out in his truck, big spinny of the back wheels, and just peels off and takes off out of there. And he did it relatively close to where I was with my family. And I said to my kids, I said, "You know what that guy just did? He just got onto our prayer list. Pray for him." God knew that guy needed prayers. And for some mysterious reason, he ended up taking the road that would lead him right past us, that we would have that contact, and something stirred in him to say, "I need to voice this message." And the only thing he effectively did was get a whole bunch of people to pray for him. And so pay attention to, I'm not saying people are going to have to skid in front of your house and shout a crazy message to get your attention, but I want you to be open to the idea that God will have people that be brought close to your life for you to pray for when you are maybe least expecting it, when you are not really ready for it. So I want to finish because I have two other stories related to that. And the first one was when I ended up arriving in Lyon, I was able to get settled in my space where I was going to be able to relax a bit more, which was wonderful. But I had to wait for my room to be ready. And so I decided to go up to the cathedral, and I was about to go into the cathedral. Carrie calls, and I had made an agreement with Carrie that whenever she calls, I'd just stop what I was doing, and I would go and I would attend to her if it was at all possible. And so I didn't go into the cathedral. I ended up coming back out and sitting in the plaza, just looking at the cathedral, and was on the phone talking with her. And we were just talking about whatever, And when we were done, I happened to turn to the left and I noticed sitting at one of the little outdoor bar areas was a fellow. I'm like, wait a minute, is that Dennis? And sure enough, there's a fellow from the Seattle area who I had connected with a little bit, and he was flying into León to start the Camino from León, and he was arriving on Saturday the 14th. And that's all I knew. That's all I knew. And lo and behold, I look to the left and there he is sitting at the table. And so I finish my call, I go walking up to him, and it was like, what is this, Tom? And it was a really neat little reunion. And we ended up going to praying together, going to mass together, and shared shops, swapped some stories together. He's already had a couple incidents happen on his Camino and as he was launching on Sunday. And so as he was launching on Sunday, and I just wished him well and Godspeed, and off he went. And I'm confident I'll bump into him along the way. But he really wanted to just kind of get launched by himself. Well, while we were praying, he and I, in the chapel, there was a priest praying in the row in front of us. And we had a chance to say hello to him. And then when we went to Mass that night, celebrating the feast of the triumph of the cross, the exaltation of the cross, that priest that was in front of us and another priest were concelebrating with the priest that was presiding. After that Mass, I ended up going up to the priests and said, Fathers, I just am thrilled that you're here. I'd love to be able to visit with you a little bit if you'd like. And when we were introduced, we introduced ourselves to the priest when we were in the chapel, just really briefly. Dennis, who was with me, said, oh, Tom's a Catholic theologian. And when we met up again, he said, what's your name again? And I said, oh, it's Tom Curran. He said, I think I have one of your books. And sure enough, my book on the Mass. He was familiar with that book on the Mass. And so we ended up sitting down, the three of us, and had a very engaging conversation. And it was fascinating in 100 ways, but just to say, I had been praying for conversations that would be a blessing and an inspiration to me. I've been in many conversations in the first, 18 days where, I've been the one who's been doing most of the pouring out. And I was very interested in having conversations that were going to be more mutual or pouring into me. And this would be one of those conversations that was more mutual and just really very interesting and engaging. And I'll have more to say about that, but there was also some turbulence in the conversation. And we kind of ended in a turbulent moment where I was kind of challenging and pushing in a way that they didn't appreciate. And so, but, you know, we parted, I think, on a decent note, even though it was kind of late at night for them. And what ends up happening is the next day or tomorrow, I bump into them. I end up getting up early. For me, it's kind of late because I can sleep in. It's my day off. But I'm like, let me just get a coffee and some breakfast, and then I'm gonna, you know, use this day to really relax, but also catch up on videos. And so, went to this little bar, and sure enough, the two priests come in. And I'm like, oh my goodness, what a great, thank you, Lord, for the chance to be able to just connect with them again. And so another touch point, this time I switched the contacts on WhatsApp to be able to stay in touch. And it gave me a chance to say, you know, I'm sorry it ended the way it did. I think there's so much more that we would have an opportunity to talk about if that was something you're interested in. He said, yes, absolutely. And so I'm really grateful for that chance to kind of round out that circle of communication. So this day was a day of like surprising reunions, surprising reconnections. And the last thing I'll say is that tomorrow on my day off, I end up meeting a couple that I had walked with a few days before, which I had mentioned to you previously. And I had thought that I didn't have as I didn't have that much of an impact on them, that I was present and I didn't press in. I was respectful and really enjoyed them. Well, when they saw me, they jumped up and gave me a hug. And it was like, you know, I was their long lost companion. And we ended up having a great conversation. They introduced me to another couple that I'm probably going to meet up with in a couple of days. And they were so grateful to be able to reconnect again and share information. And all that happened because I walked into a restaurant at close to the same time when they were there. They had just walked in to sit down and get something to eat. And so it's amazing how, again, you could just call these happy coincidences, or you could say, you know, God's providence is at work, connecting us to people's lives in order to be able to be praying for them, or to speak into their lives, or have them speak into our lives. So be open to that. Well, I can't believe it. Here I am, day 19. It's a rest day. Oh, it's a day of two firsts. It is my first, like, full rest day where I did no walking. That other day where I recovered, it was my recovery day, I did actually have to walk just over a mile from one hotel to the other. So this was my first true rest day where I didn't have to go anywhere. And I barely went anywhere. I went out three times for very short walks. I mean, very short, just to breakfast, lunch, dinner, breakfast, not even lunch, breakfast food at the supermarket, and then a bite to eat at dinner, and that was it. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. The other thing that this was new is that this is the first time that I am recording a reflection on the Camino, hiking the Camino, on the day that I'm actually talking about. Whew. So today I officially recorded, is it 11? 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, yeah, 11. I recorded 11 videos today. I mean, I've had all the content in my journal, but being able to translate that into talks, I knew I would need a day to be able to catch up. And I hope to God that I'll be able to sort of continue now that I am caught up. It'll be much easier, much like a softer lift. And now that I'm also feeling healthier, right? But it's also, it's over the halfway point. A couple days ago, I reached the halfway point in the Camino, and I reached this point 2 days early. Even with that day of recovery, yesterday when I arrived in Leon, I arrived 2 days earlier than the staging that I'd been following. And so taking a rest day today, I'm still a day ahead of the staging that I'm following. And it gave me a moment to discern. And that's what my theme is for today, is discerning. You know, now that I'm this far on my journey, right? So if you remember, I'm talking about life as a pilgrim. When you're on a journey, you can measure, right? You can measure your progress. Like, this is where I started. This is where I'm at. And this is where I'm headed. And so you can measure your progress from the beginning and your progress towards the goal. And what I realized was, wait a minute, I can continue to follow the path of the staging that is laid out for me, and I'll finish a day early, which is also a gift. And I'm like, it's a day early, and that might actually give me enough time to go to Finisterre, all the way out to the ocean, past Santiago, stop in Santiago, of course, but then continue on, since I'll have actually 2 days to accomplish that. And then I'm like, wait a minute. If I continue at the pace that I think I can go, I could actually finish this in about 8 days. And instead of, like, 14 days. And all of a sudden I'm thinking, wait a minute, should I do that? And so I had to discern. And so I used my journal to be able to discern. And I started out with just some basic reflections like, Lord, what's this been all about? Like, overall, Lord, I just asked myself my questions. Like, okay, should I just follow one stage at a time and finish in 12 days? Or should I push and finish in 8 days? And then I put down in my journal, what's this all about? And really, what's at stake in finishing early versus staying all the way to the end that's been planned? And so I asked just a series of questions. I said, Lord, lead me. I'll follow. Lord, what is this all about? The time that remains. You know, Lord, you've done so much in me up to now. I'm here now, kind of resting, recovering, getting a sense of, okay, let me get settled back in myself. And now it's like, all right, Lord, what's at stake and what remains? It's like, Lord, what are you asking of me? What's at stake in this time? Speak, Lord, your servant is listening. I say yes to you in advance. Please, Lord, is there an opportunity here? Are you opening a door for me and allowing me to go through, or offering me the possibility, the opportunity to go through? And I then started to ask myself, well, what makes sense? What makes sense for me staying or going? And I said, at that point, I had to go to Mass. So I went to Mass. It was September the 15th, and it was at the cathedral here in Lyon. Well, now I'm going to do the aha surprises. So the cathedral is the Cathedral of Our Lady of Sorrows, who is also the patroness of the Camino. Our Lady of the Camino is Our Lady of Sorrows. And today's the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows. So here I am on the feast of Our Lady of Sorrows at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Sorrows, who is Our Lady of the Camino in Leon, at the center of the Camino. All right, Lord, you're giving me like a beautiful sign that says I'm here. It's like, okay, it's not an accident that you're here. You can see the hand of the Lord saying, I've placed you here. You're meant to be here. You're in the right spot, on the right time, on the right day. And I'm like, okay, thank you, Lord, for all of that. But what else does it mean? So I just said, Lord, what does this mean? What do you intend for me by having me be here today and resting here today? What are you saying to me, Lord? Devotion to Mary, dedication to Mary, the Camino as a pilgrimage of sorrow and suffering in union with Jesus. Suffering does not have the last word. That was one of the lines from the homily. And I don't have answers yet, but I think the answer to that question of why was I blessed unknowingly to be here in this moment with this density of connections to my life in the moment and in the location where I am today. But I began to discern. And how do you discern when you have like two paths in front of you that either one can seem right? Do I stay until the 4th of October and fly out then? Or do I fly home on the 25th? Wow. On the 25th of September, which would be a full like 10 days in advance. And I began to identify the positive benefits and blessings of each of those. And it would often happen that like the benefit of one would be the negative of the other, right? Like, oh, I'll save money if I go home early. Well, the negative is I'm spending more money if I stay, unless I stay in Albergues. And those are really inexpensive. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, wow. Compared to staying in hotels, I might actually even save money. But I began to identify the things that popped out of me in terms of saying, if I stay, and I did these stages that are more aligned for me, well, I'm going to have more energy. I'm going to have more time because my body is now capable of walking these longer distances. And so it got me thinking, wait a minute, I can pray more. I can reflect more. I can do more videos. I can do some live streaming. I can do some writing. And I can fast. Shorter walks mean an easier time regarding the food involved in a Camino day. And so more penance, but penance of a different sort. I haven't really been fasting in the course of the Camino. And when I say fasting, I don't mean I'm not going to not eat food. It's that I'm going to just forego certain foods like bread and alcohol. And if I did that, frankly, I would lose more weight. And I thought, you know, if I have a shorter walk, then I don't have the same level of intensity of focus and pressure to be like, okay, I've got to get up. I've got to stay the focus. I've got to just really stay the path because I got to get there. It's going to be a long end of the day. And if I do that, it's harder to be able to have availability to go off the path, to stop and ponder, or to move with the Spirit. If the Lord says, get on that other trail, go off into that church, or have that conversation here. And so all of a sudden, I have more availability to be able to do some of those things if I'm taking shorter hikes. And ultimately, it came down to Carrie. When I thought about going home sooner, it was really about Carrie being more supportive to him, being able to see her and the kids again, and being able to support the things going on at home and some practical things that I'd be able to do. And the negatives, though, would be I'd be punishing my body some more, and I won't have a lot of energy left if I'm pushing full out day to day for the remaining days. It wouldn't be a very full Camino. I would walk the full Camino, but it wouldn't be a very full experience of the Camino as I've discerned it. And so what I realized was that the Lord is offering me the grace to fast at another level for him and for Carrie. Oh, by the way, I'll benefit from it too, but doing it in accord with the goals that I have, this sense of reasons why I'm doing the Camino, fasting makes great sense. And honestly, it's going to be difficult because I've gotten into a routine of finding some comfort in that morning croissant, that midday sandwich with bread, and then that beer later in the afternoon or wine. Getting rid of those things and replacing them with, okay, I'm just going to have some eggs in the morning. I'm going to have a salad at dinner and just a piece of steak, and get rid of potatoes, get rid of the carbs, get rid of the breads in particular, that would be hard. But I don't want any half measures. I don't want something easy. Carrie didn't give me space to be able to come here, and I didn't carve out this kind of space to be available to the Lord to do things halfway. And so that's where I felt the most peace. It was the times already in the calendar. Let me do these stages in a more already kind of mapped out way. And in doing that, be able to experience a bit more peacefulness. And my sense is that this second half is going to be more about the other two meanings of the Camino for me. The first half was more about 10Xing my life and about penance. This second half is going to be more about going out into the deep and seeking his face, the holy face of Jesus. That's my sense. And so I feel good about it. I shared it with Carrie. She was very supportive, which I just so grateful to Carrie. What a gift from God that, you know, she didn't say, you mean you can really push it and get home early? Please do that. Get home as soon as you can. Not even a flinch in that direction. What a gift. So discernment is not always easy. And so you ask the Lord to give you insight as you identify the things that draw you to one, that attract you, and the things that repel you, the benefits and the negatives, right? The deficits. And when you can lay them out and peacefully think them through, oftentimes you'll come to a greater sense of clarity about what it is the Lord is asking of you. So one of the things that marked my shift in the doing this second half differently, and you remember, if you listen to that reflection from yesterday that I made in Leon during a rest day, it was like, I'm gonna up my game. There's no half measures. I'm not just a casual tourist seeing some nice sights and taking a long walk. I'm a penitent. I'm a true pilgrim who's penitent, who's seeking the face of the Lord and longing to go deeper into what God has for me. And one of the ways to do that in our life of faith is through fasting. And so I might have mentioned yesterday, well, today I had my first day of fasting, and fasting from specifically bread and alcohol. And so that might not sound like a big deal, but on the Camino, that's a pretty big deal. If you've been living the way most people walk the Camino, which is you get bread at fresh made bread at pretty much every meal. And so saying no to that, it's an interesting thing. And in addition, alcohol, which again, when you get to the end of your day and you're just celebrating the victory of making it through that stage, a cold beer has been amazing, or two. So shedding those things, I'm doing them as part of the fundamental themes that I have. And I felt really good about that. I've done that for, I was able to do that again today in the three meals that I had. I want to mention specifically the reality of being a penitent, being a pilgrim on the Camino. Just to finish up, I want to wrap up kind of that first section, and then I'm going to focus more on those other themes beginning tomorrow. But to wrap up the what it means to be a pilgrim traditionally, I want to share with you, it's a six meanings of when you're a pilgrim and you're walking this path to get to this goal, and you're doing so prayerfully, the act of walking is often involving itself a hardship, a difficulty, a dying to self. It's not comfortable. It's a penance. So I want to share with you six different meanings of penance that would have been in the minds of the great majority of all of the people who have walked the Camino over the last 900 years. And what's interesting is that I hear this from almost nobody that's actually walking the Camino. It's not only that they're unaware of it, but they seem to be uninterested in really hearing it. And there's been a much greater emphasis on the theme, your Camino is your Camino. And it's true. Of course, it's true. People come here for different reasons, and they're walking for different motivations. They're seeking different goals. And I've talked about that many times. But what I haven't heard articulated is a way of reflecting on, I'm here walking the Camino because of what the Camino has meant, what it was established for, what its Catholic meaning is and has been for 900 years. So I'm going to unfold six different meanings of the word penance. And I share them with you because, remember now, each of us walks a way. You are walking a way in your own life. And that means that themes that are intensified, that become points of focus for me day to day, are also going to be things that I'll carry back into my life. And hopefully there have been things I've been doing prior to being on the Camino. But I will say that making these things more intensified, extensive, stripped down focus is a great blessing, because I hope that it's establishing further rooting these realities into my life, that I'll take them back with me into my daily life. So, six meanings of penance. Again, as a pilgrim, you're walking a path seeking to get to a goal. That path of walking this Camino is not easy. It's very challenging and difficult and has many hardships along the way and many additional difficulties that you can take on. And so the question becomes, why do that? Why would somebody voluntarily embrace this path that involves so much hardship? Well, let's talk about the meaning of penance. So the first meaning is it's a spiritual exercise. So a spiritual discipline, doing penance is a spiritual discipline. And so by doing penance, again, I mean things like walking a whole bunch of miles under the hot sun. It's on not very comfortable roads. It's a punishing of the body. It does. It puts a great effort on the body, especially the feet, the ankles, the calves, the knees, the hamstrings, on the back, carrying weight. It's hard. It's a difficult thing. There's a discipline that's undergone. Now, this discipline in the traditional Catholic meaning would be considered an asceticism, a form of asceticism or spiritual training, as well as a form of mortification, which means to put to death. And so penance as asceticism and mortification means it's a spiritual discipline that I'm undergoing freely and with determination in order to mortify, to put to death the desires of the flesh, the dimensions of the dimensions of my life that have this urge, that have this dynamism towards sin, towards broken, ungodly behavior. And so we know that we have that battle that we wage in us, where we're not doing the things that we hate the things that we're doing, and we're doing things that we don't want to do. Well, guess what? Penance is a way to diminish the urge, to weaken the strength, to sever the connection with those urges. So penance is an incredibly powerful and important part to play in our lives as pilgrims walking towards God. The second meaning is penitence. So I walk this path out of a sense of sorrow, repentance, a deep sense of disgust or contrition for my sins. I love you, Lord, and I am so sorry that I have offended you by my sins. And so a second meaning of a pilgrim who's walking on the Camino, on the way, is someone who's seeking for forgiveness and expressing deep sorrow out of love, deep sorrow to the Lord for having betrayed him. Whoa, did you hear that word? That's what sin is. Sin is not just breaking God's law, it's breaking God's heart. It's betraying the relationship. God is ever faithful. And so we do penance to express a sense of penitence, deep, contrite sorrow for our sins. The third meaning of penance is the one that Thomas Aquinas focuses on. He says that when we confess our sins, we're addressing the effects of sin. By confession, we encounter God's mercy. And so God's mercy, God's incredible mercy, washes away our sins. And so we're forgiven. So when we confess, it's addressing the effects of sin. Well, what's penance? Penance, according to Aquinas, addresses the causes of sin. Not the effects, the causes. And so to say that it addresses the causes of sin, I just want you to reflect on your own experience of confessing sins. If you're Catholic and you go to confession and you say, I'm so sorry, I'll never do this again. I'm so sorry that I've betrayed the Lord, and forgive me, and I receive absolution, and then I go out, and then I never commit that sin again. No, that's not how it works. All of a sudden, that urge towards that sin reasserts itself, sometimes within an hour, or a day, or a week. Penance addresses this. penance, doing things like, again, walking the Camino, fasting, self-denial, doing hard things that are done with a spiritual purpose in mind. By doing penance, we are uprooting some of those sources of those disordered desires. And I'll continue to be about that as I continue this Camino. All right, God bless. And tune in tomorrow.